What is up, wrestling fans? Welcome to the first of three pay-per-view point post shows from WrestleMania weekend. NXT Stand and Deliver just ended. So Rob and I'm Tony Mango. He's Robert E. Felice.
You can see that on your screen.
You can see it on your screen right now, unless you're on the audio only things. And in that case, if you can see it on your screen, you got some weird superpower and maybe you should be on the X-Men or something. X-Men 97, so good, by the way. That's not the only time we'll mention a Marvel character here, but of course we will be breaking down everything that just happened for a pretty damn good show. I'm positive on this. You're pretty good positive on it too, right, Rob?
Yeah, this was a tremendous show. I think I'm ready to say that while it's not what it was when Adam Cole and Aleister Black and the rest of them are there, I think this is the best NXT has been since all those guys left.
For quite a while, they have some positives and negatives on this card. We'll break down and all, but this was a very solid NXT takeover in that kind of way that they used to do. I see we got a couple people in the live chat right here. I see we got Peter, we got Chris. I'm going to try to check them out throughout here. Michael Patrick popping up too. What's up, everybody? Of course, if you want to make sure that I notice what you've got to say, and if you should be chatting it up as much as possible, but if you want to stand out, the super chats are the best way to do that. Of course, I'm going to put out here some of the other promotional stuff that we have in mind, you know, right weekly basis. We always talk about the marketplace stuff. Redbubble and TeePublic is where you pick up your merchandise options. All of those can give you entry points to the Funko Pop contest that's going on. I'll have that pop up on the screen now too. There you go. There's a Funko Pop. Rocky Maivia Funko Pops are on the line for this contest sponsored by fun.com. Thank you, of course, to them to always sponsor. Right? This is like the fifth or something for the WrestleMania contest that we've done. They're great with that. So check that out. If you want to win one of those Funko Pops, keep in mind that Smart Madness tournament's going on as well. The other link tree type stuff that you can see, you know, amangotree.com. We'll come back around to that a little bit later on. You should be on the Discord, though, by the way. And then keep in mind, if you're just going to hit the like button on this video, that helps us out quite a bit. We love that. Double check you are subscribed. Ring that notification bell for the other ones that are popping up this week. We got WrestleMania tonight, tomorrow night. So we're going to see our faces even more. And of course, now we got to talk about NXT Stand and Deliver, you know, match by match and stuff. So chat it up in that live chat. If you're listening after the fact, chat it up there too. The pre-show, the not count, kickoff, the countdown is what they're now called, countdown to NXT. Brandon's in the chat too. What's up, Brandon? We had a group of Sam Roberts, Megan Morant, and Ariana Grace for the first portion of this, where she was doing her bit. You know, she's Miss NXT Stand and Deliver. She's answering all of her questions in a way that's basically like a pageantry where, you know, she's being like, well, I think that all the women are going to win tonight. And, you know, well, I thought that, she did a pretty good job with that. I thought that was pretty interesting. What'd you think about the whole kickoff thing?
I thought that was nice. I think it's a fun way to utilize people such as Ariana Grace. It was a good way to utilize, you know, Ridge Holland later in the show.
He popped up to basically reiterate that he's not going to be competing in the ring anymore again. Then he did something else we'll talk about, but it's a fine enough little pre-show. They ran down the card. They had some little video packages and stuff. Not too much stood out. Why do I not have the graphics up for us on this? This is showing up a little strange. There we go. Now we're all set with our actual tags. If anybody notices any other glitches like that throughout here, let me know. Are our audios syncing up correctly with our mouths and stuff? Maybe something got messed up on OBS in the meantime. But now we've got our little things on there. You should be following us at Tony Mango and Dude Felice. And old thumbs up. The other interesting thing that happened on the pre-show, they had the little commentary booth and they were like, oh, it's Vic Joseph and Booker T and Wade Barrett. I'm like, cool. I like having Wade Barrett on here. He added a little bit of extra flair.
And he was great, too. He was a lot of fun.
Yeah, big fan of Wade Barrett. And, you know, he and Vic have their back and forth. Booker and Vic have their back and forth. Vic's the man in the middle of those two in a Vic Joseph sandwich, I guess you could say. Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I like it.
It's not what I was thinking about, but a Vic Joseph sandwich.
There's worse things out there.
Yeah, there definitely are.
So the match that happened during the countdown was Joe Gacy versus Sean Spears, which started off with Ridge Holland hitting Joe Gacy with a steel chair, which I immediately went like, oh, damn, okay, I'm going to have to put that down on the heel of face turns and all. This is clearly then going to switch over into why Joe Gacy loses this match. And he didn't. Joe Gacy beat Sean Spears. And I'm like, okay, they started it off with him getting hit with a chair. And then I guess it makes sense that they didn't do that towards the end, because then he would have lost the match. You know, wouldn't have made any sense for him to get hit with a chair and then, you know, win immediately afterward. But that was weird, but it's also very interesting. I like it. What about you?
Yeah, I think it sucks for Sean Spears. Similar to how I had said earlier, or not earlier, but were we on the air when I had said certain people are just, Ruby Soho is just doing what she would have done in WWE?
I think like, we were okay, off the air.
Yeah, Sean Spears is doing what she would have, what he would have done in AEW. It's like, all right, certain people just have that ceiling, and that's okay. It's just weird because Spears is also a former main roster guy. He could be a nice challenger for Ilya. But, which
that was a surprise later on too, yeah.
Yeah, but no, we got we could just get Joe Gacy winning despite being hit with a chair. You know, nothing.
And that's already surprising enough to me too, because when we talk about the title picture later on, Joe Gacy wasn't somebody that I thought was going to be one of the next in line, and now it still doesn't make any sense if he were. So it's a little strange, but metaphor. No,
the next in line, that's only if they're collegiate athletes.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, the NIL athletes that a few of them have been getting somewhere. So finally, we're getting that paying off with a couple talents. The Metaphor were our hosts for the night. So they had like this Academy Awards style sort of intro, which I thought was pretty cool, that they were like parodying a lot of the matches. They were at like the Tony D restaurant eating. We finally got to see the pasta.
Which did get some pasta. It did. What was it? It looked like a penne. I told you.
There was penne. It might have been some gnocchi. I'm not entirely sure if that was some gnocchi or if it was like a different type of pasta, but it was like really quick or whatever. And for anybody that's wondering, yes, I ordered pasta last night. And I got our usual three orders of, we got not three orders of each thing, but we got some tortellini alfredo with chicken. We got some baked ziti siciliana and some eggplant parm with linguine and vodka sauce. And it's,
and now I'll put you on the spot. Which one reminded you of me?
the cups of parm on the side. An extra little sprinkle of bonus. There you go.
And that is what I am in your life. I'm an extra sprinkle of bonus.
Yeah. Michael Patrick's the disappointed no chicken parm. No, but I am going to order pizza tonight. it's all going to be an Italian weekend for me. I might end up getting some wings too.
Pizza on WrestleMania Day is like a tradition you should have anyway.
You sort of have to. Like, it would be weird if you didn't. It's almost like if you went to a Super Bowl party and people didn't have pizza, if they had like, hey, we've got like a, I don't know, stew. You'd be like, fucking what? You know? But I like this little intro. They had the Tony D restaurant. They had the little thing with Chase University. I don't believe they did anything with the tag title situation, probably because there wasn't really anything that they could do.
What could you do other than be like, hey, the Wolf Dogs are great.
Yeah. Though the Wolf Dogs did have something on the pre-show where they were eating at Pat's and Gino's for the cheesesteaks, and they disagreed on which one was better. I think it was Breaker liked Pat's, I think, and Corbin liked Gino's. I honestly don't know. I haven't tried either of them. I have only ever had like Tony Luke's and stuff, and Tony Luke's is fucking amazing. So if you are in Philly, go to Tony Luke's as well.
That feels like something that, you know, would definitely happen with the Wolf Dogs, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I could see them actually doing that and then being like, you know, we could probably film that and just disagreeing on that. But they're not on the same page for there, but they were on the same page for the opening match of the actual like main card. The Wolf Dogs retaining successfully their tag team titles over Axiom and Nathan Fraser, who, you know, they put on a great match for still being a match that I was like, all right, well, the Wolf Dogs are probably just going to win. I was a little 50-50 about it leading up to like last night, where, you know, when we had talked about it on the predictions podcast, we were like, it's kind of strange that they're doing this. Maybe the point is to have Axiom and Nathan Fraser win. And it was kind of calling into doubt the Wolf Dogs retaining for me. But by the time we came around to Friday night, I'm like, that's just going to be the Wolf Dogs. So I thought it was funny that Booker T got interrupted. He was trying to do the no bread, no water, just meat. He's like, no bread. No. And then he gets interrupted and he's like, they interrupted my my intro. He waited about 30 seconds and then said it anyway. It's like, he's got a stim.
It was a really good match. This was my first favorite match of the night. It only got better from here. I loved it. And I, like I said, the Wolf Dogs were winning. I think it was Callum who was like, yeah, Baron Corbin will probably end up losing the match and then Breaker will spear him. And no, the Wolf Dogs are good. They need to be, like, they need to be a tag team, I think, all the time.
I think that they could easily go up to the main roster and stick around as the Wolf Dogs for a little bit and kind of get the crowd reassociated with Baron Corbin in that way and a little bit more associated with Bron Breakker. And, you know, they could do that without just being like, it has to be Bron Breakker solo. And now with them retaining over the Axiom and Nathan Fraser team and the Good Brothers not being a part of this, I was just like, I don't know who's going to win those belts next. We'll talk more belts later on too. But right now, there is a part of me that does think maybe they are coming back around to the Good Brothers having a match on like NXT, and they're just planning on having the title change hands that way. What do you think?
I would think so, because it really did seem like that's where they were going.
And it'd be odd if they just had them pop down in NXT for the sake of doing almost nothing for a few weeks. And, you know. Damn, Michael, now I want some chicken parm.
Yeah.
Now that it's like into my head, you know, I'm not even hungry. I just ate something. So, the giant Knuckles costume was behind commentary.
I love this.
I liked it too, but it's really stood out to me. I was just like, what's happening here? Because I thought for a split second, it was just somebody in the crowd and that they were like, how would they allow this person to come in with this giant Knuckles outfit? The way that, like, there was a dude on SmackDown last night that was just dressed up as Macho Man. So I was just like, somebody's dressed up as Knuckles. I'm like, oh no, okay, it's a promotional thing. That makes a lot more sense.
Well, if you would check out Fightful Select and Corey Brennan of Fightful Select, you would know that this match is going to be sponsored by
the Knuckles TV show.
Paramount Plus show. And I thought it was funny. I wish that the winner of the match would have celebrated with Knuckles. I think that would have been even more funny.
I think that they should have brought Knuckles back later on when they had Brass Knuckles pop up.
Yeah, that did bother me. That's, you know, like, as dumb as that is, folks,
right?
That did bother me.
Yeah, of course, I grew up with the transition from, I remember Sonic 1 coming out and Sonic 2 and being like, whoa, Sonic 2, there's this Tails character. And then Sonic 3 and then Knuckles come out. It's like, Knuckles is the fucking man, you know? So it's like, Knuckles, anytime he pops up at anything, I'm like, yo, Knuckles is cool. Like, you know, I know the way.
You know the way. Oh, what a great meme that
was. I love that meme. It's so good. I can't do the clicking sound, but yeah, I thought that was I don't mind when they do the little promotional things like that. Like, it's a 10-second, like, hey, by the way, check out this Knuckles TV show or whatever. Sure, get paid for that. What bogs me down and what bothers me is when we get like the 12 different commercials throughout this where there were just the video packages for WrestleMania. I'm like, I'm on the commercial free tier. I don't need to see this again. I'm paying for the Premium Plus thing to not have commercials, not to have different types of commercials. So you're always going to hear me complain about that. But Knuckles popping up, I'm like, all right, I'll give it a little bit of leeway on that front.
More than anything, I would say the frustrating part of that is the show could have ended like at 2:30.
If you take that stuff out, yeah, that would have ended a little
bit. That's going to be something you're going to hear from me a lot just this weekend and probably just in general moving forward, is the show could have ended sooner.
We had the next match after that was, I think, the best match of the night. The triple threat match for the North American title. It was,
this was good.
Obafemi going in as champion, going up against Dijak and Josh Briggs. I think that they build them all 6-6, 6-6, and 6-7. Like the three of them, like they're all basically exactly the same height, which of course, yeah, I'm like 5'10, 5'9, something like that. And
Dijak was significantly bigger than Obafemi.
He's definitely the tallest, yeah. But these three had a slugfest and they, I think, tore the house down in a lot of ways. Loved how they did, like, you know, these like double choke slam moves. They were like surprisingly athletic, like for, you know, acrobatic stuff for guys as big as they are. You know, Briggs is jumping around, Dijak's jumping around, Femi's taking some spots where he's like doing the I'm blanking on the name of it now, where he's underneath Dijak, who's holding
The Tower of Doom.
Tower of Doom, yeah. Like, they had that spot for a nice little a two count near fall and all. Crowd was super into it. I was super into it. Multiple times throughout this, I was like, oh shit, the title's going to change hands. Like, Dijak seemed like he was going to win it in particular a few times.
They definitely set this up where Dijak is your next major challenge for the North American Championship, because he won it like three times. More specifically, he knocked out Oba twice.
Yeah.
Feast your eyes. And I was like, I don't know if I would have made Oba look this weak, but they made Dijak look very strong.
Yeah, he did a great job with that. I mean, all parties did a great job, but they were selling me on some of these near falls, and I was just like, okay, crap, like, I'm going to be wrong about the North American title match. Like, I'm, you know, I'm surprised about that. I thought that was like almost a guarantee. And of course, you know, eventually push comes to shove, Oba Femi retains the title, but the match itself, definitely my favorite match of the night. And I'm excited to see like what any of these, I like all three guys, so it's not really that surprising to be like, oh, you know, they're probably going to do some good stuff going forward. And they did some good stuff here, but even more so now, I'm like, cool, sign me up for whatever they have planned next.
As we have said many times on this podcast, good things are good. And are good. This did feel like an old school NXT North American title match.
Yeah. And I'm glad that they had just these three, because we were talking before about the idea of like maybe they would have thrown in Lexus King and Von Wagner and just done like a ladder match or something. I think that they did a better match this time than they would have done if they would have had like, you know, the giant clusterfuck kind of thing. Of course, we never know. Maybe we would have had a fantastic match with that too. But after that was the 6-woman tag team match. Thea Hale, Fallon Henley, and Kehlani Jordan against JC Jean, Kiana James, and Izzy Dame. Forget how we had referred
James,
to them.
Jane, just, and,
Fallon or something like that. Yeah. They, of course, were in a position where after you follow that match, like, the crowd's going to need a little bit of a reset. So they weren't super into this match as much, and I don't blame them necessarily. Like, it wasn't as good of a match, but it was fine. They did their jobs. They all had their little bits and pieces here throughout the match that they can look strong. Kehlani Jordan had some stuff on the outside. They had a pretty good reaction for when Thea Hale and JC Jane were in the ring together, and they finally had that like stare down confrontation and all. I was surprised that Jasmine Nix got involved, because she's wearing her sling, so I just assumed that she was maybe actually injured, but she still did something. I forget what she did, though. I don't like, it wasn't really all that, you know, like, oh, she did some 930 twirl or something. It was like, she just did something, you know, pretty basic. But Thea Hale gets the win for her team. She gets the win over Izzy Dame, tapping out. And one thing that I thought was kind of interesting, I don't know if you picked up on this, or maybe I'm reading too much into it, Fallon Henley looked kind of like upset. Did you see that?
I did not, but Fallon Henley was trying something new during this one, where she was like, remember when Kelly Kelly used to just fucking yell?
She was just screaming.
She was just screaming for this one.
There was a lot of screaming here. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very strange.
Yeah, I didn't like pinpoint who was screaming, but at one point Caroline was like, Fallon, oh my
Henley
god.
And Kiana James.
I thought so.
Yeah.
So I mean, she looked like she was kind of like sourpussing it, but like maybe, I don't know, maybe she was like feeling like, oh man, my fucking back hurts or something like that at the time. I don't think it's going to be the same story as what we're going to see with Carlito. I'll say that, you know, I don't think this is leading to a heel turn or something, but yeah, solid enough match. Thea Hale winning is something that makes perfect sense. And we can still get Thea Hale versus JC Jane one-on-one on NXT. And it's still going to feel like it's, you know, the feud isn't necessarily over yet, but we got the big win here. They don't need to necessarily drag it out any further, too. I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was a fun match. And I like the little moment where there was like a JCJ went to tag someone and no one was there, and she's just like, "Oh no, I'm alone." I was such an old baby face thing. I just really enjoyed that.
The I gotta actually fight instead of being a coward kind of confrontation, yeah.
But they did get away with not having tap out JC.
Yeah, so
they'll have a singles match somewhere.
Yeah, some more down the line, which JC might end up winning, and then they might drag that out a little bit more, and they might do like a gimmick or something. But they still haven't announced like the next show. I was sort of expecting that they would have here, and you know, I mean, whether it's like an NXT episode on TV, that's just a regular, you know, roadblock type of an event, or it's like a pay per view or something. Maybe that's where they end up doing that in the future. But they did announce something else. And specifically for the women's division, the NXT Women's North American Championship is coming forward. And that's the only information we know right now. No, like, bracket put up there. No, like, okay, it's going to be these women fighting for a qualifying match or anything along those lines. It's just Ava saying, hey, in the next few weeks or whatever long it might be, NXT Women's North American Championship, which is, like, cool. I like it. Go for it.
I like it. Yeah, I also like it. And fans have been asking for this pretty much since they got rid of the
women's tag titles.
The women's tag titles. So this is a really cool move for them, and I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes. And then the announcements didn't stop there for the women, because we go to the entrances for the women's title match, and we see Julia in the crowd.
Julia's in the crowd, and that's somebody had said that something in the chat, I think earlier, I forget, asking about, do you think that she's coming to NXT? This is pretty much the best indicator that she's just going to NXT and not being straight up to the main roster, which I think is fine too. Like, especially now that we're going to have a women's mid-card championship, immediately my brain went, okay, who can win that mid-card title? Is it Fallon Henley? Is it Thea Hale? Is it going to be Kalani Jordan? Is it going to be
Kalani Jordan? I feel like, is a good NXT North American champion.
She's got a really good chance. Like, they've been pushing her quite a bit, and she's been just improving, you know, time and time again. Maybe this is what they end up doing with, like, Cora Jade when she comes back or something. Or
that is also fair.
Yeah, it's like, now we're going to see at least a little bit of a reshuffling of the totem pole when it comes to the NXT Women's Division pretty soon, because it's going to look like, all right, like, Izzy Dame certainly wasn't going to be one of the next women's champions.
Right.
But she could be in the mix for the mid-card title. And, you know, Brynley Rhys, not a main women's champion spot right now, but Brynley Rhys could be the North American champion. Like, I'd be fine with that. Sol Ruka could be, she's kind of like in between the two. Like, they've not established her enough there. She could be fighting for the world title, the quote unquote world title. And that I would really think that she would beat Roxanne, spoiler alert, but I could see Sol Ruka winning that. Blair Davenport, even, you know, there's a lot of options that could win this title next. So
I think Roxanne is losing to Thea Hale. Like I said on the podcast, I think it's the perfect story where Roxanne's excited not to be a little girl anymore, and Thea Hale seems to be like, no, I'm perfectly fine being a little girl. It's very, very weird, but you know.
Hopefully they don't cut a promo that's just that I'm kind of verbiage. I'm fine
being a little girl. No, I also hope they don't say that.
No, I would think Thea Hale would be more, at least in my mind right now, like she can work her way up to that level, but I think it would take a little while. It kind of depends on how long they want to take before this new belt's established and how long they want to switch to the NXT Women's title, because spoiler alert, I guess we talk about it here. Lyra Valkyria losing the NXT Women's Championship to Roxanne Perez. We all saw it coming. Foregone conclusion, so that wasn't shocking at all. Tatum Paxley was involved for just like a moment to just be like, hey, I'm here, Lyra, and then get bumped into and then get taken to the back. And that didn't really factor that much into it, so I'm kind of curious what happened there. But
I didn't catch that.
The whole Tatum Paxley thing?
No, I didn't catch that.
It was that fast that, like, she... So what she did was, like, Lyra was in the corner, and I forget if, like, Roxanne was setting up to, like, injure her arm the way that she did before, where if that was like right after, like right after, right before, somewhere around that. And Tatum's like, she basically came over and did like this, like, hey, I'm here for you. And that's like it.
But what what would that do? Like
just like emotional support, I guess. I don't know. And then like a moment or so later on the outside, they had like a little, you know, collision, like Roxanne stepped out of the way and Lyra bumped into Tatum. But later on in the night, they've got Lyra backstage icing up and Tatum goes over to her and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry that you lost the title or whatever. And Lyra's pissed and she's just like, now's not the time. So I'm like, all right, is this like, it's not her fault you lost the title. You didn't like have some kind of interference.
Not where they thought they were going, and we're getting something completely new.
Maybe, because it kind of seemed like we were talking months ago that they were building Cora for the spot that Roxanne's in now. And yeah, I mean, maybe they had planned on doing a triple threat, or maybe they planned on having Cora in this spot instead of Roxanne. Maybe it was still supposed to be Roxanne and Lyra, and Cora was just going to be at the last event. But I don't know. I'm looking at the situation now, and I'm going, all right, heel Roxanne Perez isn't dropping the belt at the next pay-per-view. But down the line, immediately my brain goes, well, Julia's probably going to win that title from Roxanne. And then Thea might be in the mix more for the North American title instead, I think.
Unless they want to make the North American title mean something. Like how Adam Cole should have been an immediate NXT champion, but then it was actually Adam Cole with the North American title who then set the stage for that.
Yeah, maybe they want Julia to be the North American title holder. So that way it's like, cool, new person comes in, wins this title. Now our eyes are on there instead of it being like a Carly Bright or, you know, Jakar Jackson or somebody that's like clearly not in that world title picture quite yet. Maybe it's Lash. You know, maybe they want to do something with Lash. But Julia seemingly in NXT, that's cool. North American title, that's cool. Roxanne becoming champion, not my favorite thing, but at the same time, I wasn't particularly digging Lyra Valkyrie as champion, so I was like, all right, that's fine. You know, title changes are more interesting than if it doesn't. So, speaking of title changes, though, Tony D'Angelo does not win the really NXT upsetting championship, and that was very shocking to me.
Very easily
the most shocking thing that happened on this episode. Well, except for maybe the announcement of the new belt, but I just assumed that he was for sure winning this title, and he didn't want to use brass knuckles, so maybe they're trying to tell that little bit of the story. Maybe it's just going to drag this out a little bit more, and it's like, let's have him fail, and then once we stall for the next thing, he does use that, and he turns heel or something, but yeah, he comes up short, and then, of course, my brain goes into, if it's not Tony D in a rematch where he turns heel, who ends up beating Ilya Dragunov for the title? Lexus King or something?
Have you been watching the way they book this man?
I mean, he's not on this pay-per-view, so that's not a great indicator, you know?
I think it'll be... right now, as it stands, I think Obafemi beats Ilya Dragunov, Trick Williams beats Obafemi by the end of this year.
You think it's North American title, like a title for title situation? Probably, or you think like, it drops like the North American
Keith
title?
Lee situation.
Hopefully better than the Keith Lee thing turned out to be, since it was like, we'll spoil it ahead of time and then immediately not really do much with Keith Lee as champion.
We blame COVID for that. We blame COVID for that. That's okay.
Oh, I don't blame COVID for the leak. That was, what was it, Sangha?
Yeah, it was one of the two. Share people.
Yeah. Induced sharing a little too much.
Got him. What's wrong with you?
Metaphor announced that there was a new attendance record, 16,545. There was a video package of Javon Evans, so they must clearly see something really big in him. And then the main event was our Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams match. No special entrance for Trick. I was disappointed in that. I was really hoping that maybe they would do the Booker T thing or something. But
he had the kind of like the Rocky hoodie on, and it was just like, whoop, that Trick. And people got into it. He had on the back of his jacket, it said the Anointed One. I like that. You know,
I didn't notice that, but I kind of like that. Yeah. one of the notes that I added for the end of the year awards for best ring gear, I added Lyra Valkyrias for this episode. I thought that was pretty cool. But I also added Carmelo Hayes had a Golden Jaguar habit kind of outfit from Black Panther. So I'm like, all right.
Well, yeah, not the first time he's worn it, I don't think.
The same thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember him doing that before, but yeah, that's a really cool outfit. Black Panther has one of the best costumes, and then the Golden Jaguar version of that is really cool too. So it's like, you know, hey, I'm Killmonger here. Like everybody's, of course, Caroline's like, oh my God, you fucking Marvel nerds are just like expanding into everything. I'm like, we're taking over.
Well, yeah. No, it's Caroline's not aware. Like that's just how it is now. Everybody's into the MCU. Everybody's somehow a comic book nerd. It's very weird. Very weird.
We've talked about this before that like I, you know, if I go back in time and I were to tell myself how popular these things are and that there's like, you know, people in WWE are going to be wearing, you know, Thanos inspired Infinity Gauntlet outfits, I'd be like, you know, just because, you know, I remember back in the day when I would have to try to explain to people who Iron Man is, like people were like, I only care about Batman and Spider-Man. That's the only ones I care about. And I'm like, now, you know, it's a completely different story, but I will say, as far as this main event match goes, I'm honestly a little bit disappointed with it. It was a little underwhelming, not as great as I was hoping that it would be.
Sorry.
Yeah, I just like, it was fine. I didn't think it was a great match though. And I thought that this was going to have like match of the weekend type potential, but wasn't even my favorite match on this card. And it's still got two nights of WrestleMania that has to compete with. So it did its job, you know, and we had our Trick Williams celebration at the end, but it felt like it kind of got rushed a little bit to me, too, towards the end. Like, it just sort of ended and didn't have that kind of, like, you know, real build up to a crescendo or anything. It was like, oh, it's over. Okay, well, now we got the graphic up. That's it.
Yeah, I kind of got the vibe of Trick Williams is going to be the next big thing. He is going to be, I think he'll be the next new black WWE champion. Like maybe Kofi wins it again. Maybe Lashley wins it again. But when they're ready for the next one, I think it's Trick Williams. I think he bypasses Carmelo. He's a fucking star.
Yeah.
And not for nothing, I'm not a, you know, I'm not a like, well, they need to be 6 foot tall or whatever. But it's like, I looked at Trick standing across from Carmelo, and I was reminded of when, also in Philly, Adam Cole jumped in the Rumble, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Like, okay. What are you going to do?
Now you can see the disparity between them where, you know, the same with, like, AEW. Like, certain people in AEW look like they're taller than they actually are, and then when you see them standing next to another person, you're just like, oh, WWE can be the land of the giants sometimes, especially compared to more like the indies and NXT and all. But yeah, I think Trick's, he's got a future world title just like waiting for him. And Hayes probably too. I mean, you know, Rey Mysterio has been champion. Shawn Michaels isn't the tallest guy in the world. You know, there's lots of people that are on the short. Daniel Bryan, another one. But as much as I was hoping that they would have like just a straight up banger of a match, and I know that they're capable of it, I was a little underwhelmed. I didn't think that this hit the level that I was expecting. So
I knew it was going to not hit the level when they wouldn't commit to a gimmick match.
Yeah, like, I thought that was a little strange too. And they only did this little thing with the referee bump just to temporarily include like three whacks of a steel chair, and I don't know, like it's it reached the level where it's fine, but they definitely like they held back too much that would have made it, I think, a great match. So Trick Williams wins, and you get your big celebration at the end of like, yay, the babyface won. Maybe that's a good indicator of what happens tomorrow night. I don't know. I'm still like, you
know? I need, well, let's talk about that real quick. I need you to understand that they are having Cody Rhodes basically do a tour where he's like, if I do not win, please shoot me. So like, he can't lose.
He cannot. I'm hoping. Lose. Yeah. You know, I mean, as much of an indicator as I think it could be, the whole Paul Heyman speech last night was a real, like, you know, thank you, Paul Levesque, for saving this company. And, you know, we'll talk about a little bit about the Hall of Fame stuff in the future, but that was an experience watching the beginning of the Hall of Fame and then towards the middle and the end where things started to go in a weird, like, okay, The Rock is being inducted with a belt for Muhammad Ali's thing, inducted by The Undertaker, like, you know, and
very strange ending there.
Thunderbolt Patterson's thing, where it's just like, we could start preaching, and the Leah Maivia thing at the end, basically turning into the angle again and all. So, yeah, we'll talk more Hall of Fame in the future. But
so, full disclosure, that last part, I have no idea what you're talking about, because I tuned out after a certain point.
You didn't miss really anything. It was basically like, thanks, Grandma, for paving the way and all. I'm going to fuck up Cody Rhodes tomorrow, sort of a thing. But the Paul Heyman thing about Paul Levesque and all, I mean, the first indicator of that is the stuff we've been seeing over the past few months and all. But this is the first WrestleMania without Vince McMahon, and NXT Stand and Deliver, I think, for the most part, delivered. So I am.
But how does it stand?
It standed pretty well. It's got some good footing on it. So I am hoping that this is a good indicator of what we see tonight and tomorrow night, that the shows can be just as good as this, if not, of course, way better. Like, I'm fine with them blowing this out of the water, making this look like dog shit in comparison if it's just really good. You know, I'm not going to say good things are good, great things are okay, great things are great, you know? Overall, you know, I mean, some surprises here, some matches that I thought were rock solid, some that I thought were not as great as they could have been, but not a bad match in the mix, so...
Yeah, I agree.
Thumbs up.
And it was a very, like I said in the beginning, it was like, this is the first time I feel like NXT is back. Like, yeah, they're kind of riding the wave of all the other great shit, but NXT feels like it's back. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they do next.
So it's Stand Back and Deliver. Stand Back and Re-Deliver. There you go. And, you know, I mean, maybe the future of what NXT's got going on is stuff that we're going to look back on this as like another turning point for something. Maybe this is just keeping the ball rolling, and, you know, by the next episode of NXT, we have a complete changeover from some stuff. But I like where we're heading for some of it. Some of it, even if I don't know, I'm still down for. So this gets an approval from me. I want you, everybody, of course, to leave your comments below. What did you think? What'd you like? What'd you dislike? What do you think about what we said? I mean, that kind of stuff. What do you think is going to be happening with the North American Championship for the women's division? Who's your go-to pick for that? Who do you think wins those other titles in the future coming up soon? What's up, Julia? Any of these kind of talking points, drop them in the comment section below. And of course, keep in mind that we will be back later on tonight after night one of WrestleMania for another post show. So stay tuned for seeing more of these lovely mugs. I don't have a mug here. I have that, but, you know, I mean,
it's Camelback. So,
yeah. you'll be done that water bottle. I'll still have this one, but, you know, I'm not shouting out anybody. They're not sponsoring anything. They should, though. You should.
You want to be sponsored by water?
The water bottles.
Oh.
the branding.
Yeah, well, we should always have more people sponsoring us.
Yeah. Just like, not even have to run the ads. Just give the money. You're all corporations.
If you want to give money,
yeah.
There is the Patreon, there is the YouTube membership, and you should do that, because you'd get a lot more focused, Tony and Rob, if you gave us money.
You'd get a lot more focused versions of us and a lot more of the goofy versions of us, because there would be less pressure for that. So definitely join the whole Smarketplace stuff that I mentioned before. Take advantage of the Smart Madness tournament and the Funko Pop contest that's going on right now too, and check out the link tree. amangrytree.com for all the Fanboys Anonymous and Smart Out Moment stuff. And also, of course, make sure that you're following Rob.
Yep, follow me everywhere at Dude Felice. Check out Fightful.com, because John Ross Sapp is there. Kate Hensler is there. There's so much going on with NXT weekend. But yeah, Dude Felice everywhere. Eventually, DudeFelice.com.
Eventually, it'll be up on his side. But
when it's ready, Tony and I will do a stream just for that.
It'll just be like ta-da, and that's just gonna pop up as like, regular little text.
Look, it's here.
All right, everybody. Well, you know, enjoy your hour of peace time before we get into the WrestleMania countdown, and then we'll have 2 hours worth of that. We'll be hanging around on Discord for anybody that wants to chat it up there, maybe even live streaming that. I'm not entirely sure. Guy123 was asking in the chat if we're going to do the live stream of the RetroMania thing. That was something from the other day. I just didn't think that people were really super interested. So maybe in the future, might. You know, the more that people say that they're interested in stuff, the more likely I will do those things. But I didn't really hear enough response, but not planning on doing that today. But we might be like live streaming the countdown or something like that. So stay tuned, head over to the Discord, keep checking out smartcatmoment.com, and we'll see you later on tonight for NXT Stand and Deliver. That's it. But for WrestleMania coming up in a few hours, hopefully it's a banger. All right.
Yeah.
Adios, everybody. This has been another Smart Cat Moment. We're being counted out.